the dimensions of Agapico love. What force, what energy holds together our tradition, in the diachronic sense expressed above, with the synchronic traditions of the human family? Also, from my personal experience, I can say that this energy is the love of God embodied in our history. In my work, The Mutations of Love, I deal metaphorically with the physical states of love, borrowing from the physics of matter, the various forms of aggregation and molecular motility determined mainly by the external and internal temperature of multiple bodies, particularly water. Of the latter, I have used only the standard states known to most: liquid, gaseous or evaporated, solid, frozen, and sublimate. Other states, not only physical, are found described in the titles of individual compositions. I referred to a transformation process in these metaphors, such as evaporation and or distillation. This is why I ultimately refer to mutations. Because, as we shall see later, these are not mere formal changes of matter but epiphanic, today, we would say phenotypic or epigenetic, mutations of subsistent love. For love is stronger than death, and holds out to us an intrigue of agape, understood as disinterested, gratuitous love, which requires and expects no reciprocation. This is how we can take back our eternal destiny, which instead is continually denied by those who would have us reduced to the present, synchronic, fleeting moment only, thus annihilating our historical dimension and the diachronic human familiarity that we can call tradition, biological, cultural, and spiritual. Thank you. the dimensions of Agapico love. What force, what energy holds together our tradition in the diachronic sense expressed above with the synchronic traditions of the human family? Also, from my personal experience, I can say that this energy is the love of God embodied in our history. In my work, The Mutations of Love, I deal metaphorically with the physical states of love, borrowing from the physics of matter the various forms of aggregation and molecular motility determined mainly by the external and internal temperature of multiple bodies, particularly water. Of the latter, I have used only the standard states known to most: liquid, gaseous, evaporated, solid, frozen, and sublimate. Other states, not only physical, are found described in the titles of individual compositions. I referred to a transformation process in these metaphors, such as evaporation and or distillation. This is why I ultimately refer to mutations. Because, as we shall see later, these are not mere formal changes of matter but epiphanic, today, we would say phenotypic or epigenetic, mutations of subsistent love.
Love that forgives no one who loves.
I loved love too little. I was seduced too often. Accept to die of love. It is my destiny written before the time of light would blind my wounded heart by its pierced spiral wind.
Thanatos and Nemesis. Here the second interpretive paradigm enters. If in the book Mystical Dance I referred only to two semantic areas of love, in the classical Greek and Koine, also Jewish Christian meaning, Eros and Agape. In this anthology, another existential metaphysical duality, no less critical for the spiritual and cultural artistic evolution of the world derived from classical Greek and Latin civilization, enters into discriminating play, Eros and Thanatos. Indeed, the originality of the syllogism is in having intimately amalgamated these three dimensions of the spirit, Eros, Agape, and Thanatos. This trilogy reflects the contradictory and imploding humanity that lives around and within us, with varied and increasingly frequent resonances, Nemesis. All of this being premised, the compositions, while not denying intimism, symbolism, hermeticism, structuralism, etc., attempt to trace a beyond, linking personal experience to universal hermeneutics, recovering metaphysics, religious sciences, and the epistemology of everyday living that unconsciously resonates in the universe. Our every action has a repercussion that returns and evolves not only on the individual who generated it but on the entire cosmos, animate and not, although the latter are now obsolete distinctions. In these texts, love with a capital initial stands for agape, while the all lowercase term, barring grammatical and syntactical requirements, stands for eros. What about the thanatos? It is intersected with each poem, stanza, verse, word, and here we come to the crucial point. Heidegger, as we specified above, said that the only existential certainty man has is that he must die. From this, he would build his whole philosophy. But on closer inspection, if a philosophy starts from death, where can it take us? To metaphysical death, to absolute and apodictically contradictory relativism. At the socio-individual suicide level, to the death of the thirst for the infinite and art as its expression. In fact, nothingness is thanatos and its surrogates present. A humanity that does not believe in nothing is destined for nothing, no love, no happiness, no life, no nothing, just brute force trying to impose its own will. Good is the satisfaction of my desire or what I believe to be good for me or, even worse, for others, beyond the good and evil of Nietzschean memory, with the aftermath of violence and overpowering abuses at all ontological, existential, and situational levels. This syllogism would presuppose a critical addition, almost stanza by stanza, as it implies analytical knowledge and synthetic understanding of metaphysical, theological, physical-biological, logical-mathematical, biblical-religious, strictly speaking, literary, and mythological references crossed and intersecting in n-dimensional teleologies. Last but not least is the correlation between thanatos and the death on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, the invisible tangent to pre-Christian historical cyclicality impacts with a perfect orthogonality that captures and annihilates forever and ever. For me, René Girard is the cryptic author of this conception. He unveils thanatos, according to Christian originality conception. He lays the gnoseological and salvific historical premises to put an end to its mimetic crises, pointing precisely to the cross as the new way to light and agape. As Dante Alighieri wrote in the Divine Comedy, the love that moves the sun and other stars.
Kronos, devourer of children.
Infinite happiness has won.
the realism of the mystic. Poetry is not an escape into unrealistic and irrational fantasy, disengaged from the reality in which we live. The poet's foot is firmly planted on the ground. At the same time, his mind rises to the highest heaven, hidden from most, but only to receive the profound meaning of existing and being a man immersed in a universe filled with direct and indirect messages. These messages are more than mere Gnostic communications, they are instead part of a higher harmony that is revealed in the astonishing beauty of the created universe. Nature, emotions, culture, and feelings constitute the heart and circadian rhythms of the cosmic life of which we are a part and which the Creator Being, in His infinite wisdom, love, and rationality, has placed in our immortal soul. The artist is a speck of this infinity of love, entrusted with the mission of transmitting the heart of life to his fellow human beings through language, in a broad sense. In particular, the artist-poet is a demiurge of oral and written language, conveying the wonder of daily living as a way of being in the absolute eternity of the present moment, merging the synchronic with the diachronic. In the smallness of the gestures and situations that reality presents to us, the poet sees the reverberation of the infinite in the diversity, the exaltation of the one that gives us a life without limits in truth, goodness, and precisely in beauty, which summarizes itself in the first two archetypal concepts. In the penultimate anthology, Light from Light, I recall and further develop the general poetics described earlier. I consistently intend to take the next step, a concrete anthropological and socio-environmental one. Thanatos, the death, here hovers even more prominently and seems to win the challenge with Agape, the love. But it does not. The last stanza of the composition Honor to a Homeless Man reveals this in its contingent and seemingly contradictory experience. Even the most desperate and derelict man has a single and ultimate referent and source of life, the Lord of the living, our Lord Jesus.